Adversity, bring it. The struggle, I welcome it. Snooze on life, never that. I am Dave Regina, and this is the No Snooze Podcast. Come on. Welcome back, No Snooze Podcast, episode 169. As always, I'm in the booth with a new three. We have Sky, can't follow directions, verbs. Claudio, the voice, Valenzuela. And I am Dave, the body, Regina. Sky Verbs is a multifaceted soul R&B singer, songwriter, and poet who is constantly pouring love into this world. Not only does she embrace opportunities to speak on mental health and stress the importance of self-work and community, but she also never misses a chance to inspire through her artistry. Through her raw and transparent lyricism, Sky Verbs doesn't just hit notes. She moves the soul with truths that inspire listeners to reflect upon themselves and discover their inner hero. Sky Verbs worked as an independent artist until signing with record label Aces Nation in late 2015. Shortly after signing, Sky released her debut EP, Soul Food Eye Candy, which landed her at number 73 on the iTunes US R&B chart and number one on the iTunes R&B chart in Taiwan. Sky, it's a pleasure to connect with you. Welcome to the No Snooze Podcast.
Thanks for having me.
So, listen, I give these nicknames.
Right, I heard.
Right? Uh-huh. So, Sky can't follow directions, verbs, okay?
Right.
So, for the listeners, I tell Sky, well, first, I was a couple minutes behind.
Right.
But I was listening to your music.
Right.
But I also had to drop off my three-year-old daughter. I have a whole bunch of excuses if you want to hear them, but I'll leave that out. So I say, hey, listen, you know, I'll be there at this time, just like park in the driveway next to the black truck. She hits me with a thumbs up on a text, which, by the way, I despise that. Okay. And I don't know if anyone else could really relate to that, but it's either like love it with a heart or leave it alone.
Right.
Okay. So, but you acknowledging it with the thumb, to me, I was like, oh, cool. Like, she's probably going to park where I told her to park.
Mm-hmm.
So then I'm like looking out the window and I see like this little blonde girl walking up the street, like looking around left, looking right. I'm like, CV, I think she's here. But like, I don't know, maybe she got dropped off or she's just looking around, wandering. And then you like slowly like walk into the driveway and then I come outside and greet you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the backstory to Can't Follow Directions.
Thank you for that. Thank you so much for that. To be fair, this is off the street and not directly on the street. So I was looking for the car you told me to park behind, but I didn't see it. And then I made a loop and all that jazz.
All right, good. So, I mean, we're off to a great start.
Beautiful.
All right. We've established a lot of mutual connections. Mm-hmm. And shout out to Doss for connecting us. Went back and forth on a text message. He had some really great things to say about you. So now I will be the judge of that. Okay. all jokes aside, happy that you're here.
Thanks.
And I guess let's start with, what do you do when you're not making music? Loaded question right from the start, right?
I'm working, sleeping, and making core memories with my community, and doing a lot of making music, like outside of the studio, planning. Wear a lot of hats.
And what do you do on a day-to-day basis? Because, you know, being an artist, and I was telling Brandon as well, I know a lot of artists in my circle,
mm-hmm.
and it's not an easy thing.
Right.
Right. So what do you do, like, I guess, work-wise to support the side hustle and the grind? And is your goal to make this the main hustle?
Yeah, 100%. So the goal is, you know, I'm a singer, songwriter, to write songs for other people, to write songs for myself. I'm in process of writing a couple of books. It was supposed to be one book, but then it kind of just like poured out. And now there are a couple of different volumes of this book, but I always would like wake up in the morning, I do my gratitude journal, say my prayers, set my intentions, have my morning coffee, because you don't want to talk to me if I don't have my morning coffee. I'll either get in a workout before or later in the day, but then I work at Zen House, which is a sports training facility in Stanford. Shout out to Zen House. Great group of guys. It's not directly in purpose, but I say it's like purpose adjacent, because their foundational presence and their core is faith, family, and like purpose. So even I've learned like through the years, even if you're not exactly in what you're supposed to be in, as long as it's adjacent and it's in like the same core values, you can still learn something, you can grow, and you're opening yourself for the right opportunities to come to you. I don't have to be in the studio to get music opportunities. I can be in the gym and have a client come in and be like, oh my God, I heard your song the other day. And like, you know, you just never know. I think that you put yourself in places that feel right, where you're valued, where you can do good work for yourself and serve others, and God will bring you the right opportunities for you.
I love that. I guess on the topic of value, there was a sentence that I loved in the, I think it was in the bio, or maybe I just read it. How you constantly pour love into this world, right? And I think now in, I mean, we're recording late 2023, by the time it drops, new year 2024, there's a lot of ugliness going on in this world. So how are you conscious of, you know, I guess providing value to others through providing that love?
Yeah, I think it's super nuanced and very tough, and you got to take it like a step at a time, a day at a time, even a moment at a time. There's a lot of stuff that's going on in this world in general. I think that there needs to be more grace and more softness, and softness needs to not be looked at something as like a weakness, but actually as a strength. Because let's just say like somebody really pisses you off, and in my head, I'm like, the weak thing to do is to pop off, to snap back, like, you know, to feed that same energy. Like, that's the very easy thing to do. The tough thing to do is like take a moment, take a breath, like be like, okay, let me assess the situation. I don't want to act out of character. How do I want to handle this? Like, it takes a lot more thought and a lot more strength and a lot more just like, it just takes more effort to process it and not just snap back. So I think that in terms of like pouring love into this world, I do that in terms of love, figuring out how to love myself better, how to give myself better grace, how to be more loving and give myself more affirmation. And then that way it's just easier to pour out into this world. And you know, you should always give grace, always be kind. You never know what somebody is going through. I know everybody says that, but it's very true. And especially today, there's a lot going on in this world and there are a lot of opinions. And I just am open to hearing and receiving. And, you know, the only person that can really judge is God. So I'm not here to judge. I'm here to listen, and I'm here to pour into myself as much as I can so that I'm not pouring from an empty cup.
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And the words there, like, it sound really good, but now I'm going to put it to you. The next time I text you, if you pop off and respond back with a thumbs up, I'm going to know that what you're saying, you're not thinking about. I'm just messing with you. So you touched on a lot there, and I appreciate that, and I receive it all, honestly. Mm. You also mentioned a lot of, I guess, your personal routine, like in the morning with the gratitude journal. Mm-hmm. How did you get there? Because I'm always interested, even for me, right? Like, yeah. I didn't just wake up one day and like, you know, establish this great routine that I have. Like, right. I went through a lot of dark moments and dark times, and, you know, still go through those adverse moments in life as well. But like, you know, you slowly start to habit stack. Mm-hmm. And then eventually that, you know, becomes the majority of how you operate your life. But I'm always curious to hear, how did you get there?
Yeah, from going through a lot of crap. when I graduated college and I was like, you know, music has always been my life since I was four. I was like, this is what I want to do. You know, God gave me a purpose like really early in life. But just because you know your purpose early doesn't mean that it's like revealed to you and how it like and how it happens for you until later in life. You know, it doesn't really always happen in the beginning. It usually doesn't. So obviously I had to get other jobs to support this. And I was bartending because when I graduated college, it was the fastest money, the most money in the shortest amount of time. So I just got like right into it. I bartended through college too. So I just kind of dove into that. And then the next thing I know, I'm working like 60 plus hours a week behind a bar. And I'm just like losing myself. You know, when I'm not at work, I'm in the studio. And if I'm not in the studio, I'm at the gym or I'm asleep. But like I'm missing all my family moments, all my friend moments. Like I'm missing all the core memories. I'm not really living. I'm just kind of like going through the motions. And the only time I feel like in purpose is when I'm in the studio. And like it was just not doing it for me. And when COVID hit, it was like an opportunity for me to reassess how I live the day to day and how like I could be this deep, like intentional, like God loving person, but I'm not living that way. I'm just like, I know I am that, but my actions are just like going through the motions. So even though COVID was so awful for me, you know, I have anxiety and depression. And when you take away my routine and my ability to see the people I love, and you know, I was watching the news a lot and I was like, if I go outside and I breathe on my parents, I'm going to kill them. And like, you know, I was spiraling. And so every morning I woke up and I was just like, okay, let me just write some things that I'm grateful for and just kind of like try and focus on them throughout the day. Cause you have nothing going on. I'm home all day, like whatever. So I had to start getting creative and I was just like, okay, I'm thankful for my ability to walk. I'm thankful for like morning snuggles with my cat. I'm thankful for the first sip of coffee. I'm thankful for like my ability to write music, like all these things. And I was getting super nuanced. And it was helpful because if you start the day that way, then that's the first thing you're thinking about. And then you know what your intentions are to carry out throughout the day. So even when you're doing those steps, like that's always the root and the core. So it's a practice that I took with me because when everything opened up again and I got back to working, I stopped doing it. And then I realized how important it was for me. So yeah, every morning, wake up, set my intentions for the day. Like what is it in my purpose for the week? And like what I'm grateful for.
Love it. I do.
We wanted to take a quick second to let you guys know that we partnered with our good friends over at Orgain.com. We're happy to offer our listeners 30% off by entering the code NOSNOOZE30. Again, that's NOSNOOZE30 for 30% off your first order. If you're on the market for a new protein powder, nutritional shake, protein bar, or Mike's favorite, collagen peptides, Orgain is your one-stop shop. As all of you know, my Crohn's disease is currently in remission, and the only protein I use is from Orgain. My personal favorites are the chocolate peanut butter and the vanilla bean. With the code, you can try a 2-pound tub for under $20. Talk about not snoozing. Go get yours today. Now, back to the epi.
To now be, I guess, let me go here first. You battled some health issues and an autoimmune disorder, right? And you just mentioned in one of your gratitude examples, you know, you're grateful for your ability to walk, which is something that I believe those of us who can walk and, you know, have our limbs and we're able-bodied individuals, that's probably something that we really take for granted. This was almost taken away from you. And I guess I want to expand, or I want to hear your, you know, how that happened and how this affected you, and when, and give me a timeline on this too.
Yeah. Beginning of June, end of June
of this year.
Of this 20, year.
Well, 23.
Yeah, end of 23. And I just woke up one day. I'm a very active person. And, you know, I work at the gym. I was working out a lot, like, you know, had a lot of these fitness goals. I was like right in time for summer. Just a healthy individual, never had anything like seriously ever wrong with me. And I just woke up one day and my wrist was so swollen. It had no mobility and it was like excruciating pain. Like I've never felt it before. And I went to work and, you know, the guys were like, that does not look okay. So I went to the doctor and, you know, they were telling me, oh, you must have fractured it. You got to get sent out for x-rays. I was like fractured in my sleep. That seems unlikely. And, you know, it took almost a month to get diagnosed correctly. At first, it was just my wrist. And then a couple weeks after my wrist, my knee blew up and I couldn't use it. Like I couldn't bend it. I couldn't walk. If I was walking, I was limping. And then it got so bad to where like I couldn't put any pressure on it at all. Went to the hospital, did all these tests. You know, they're just like, it's inflammatory. It's not infectious. You know, we don't really know what's going on. You need to see a rheumatologist. I saw a rheumatologist. And as soon as I walked in, she was like, or limped in, she was like, oh yeah, this is reactive arthritis. And I didn't even know what that was. I mean, I think arthritis and I think something, you know, later in life,
like older.
Yeah.
Individuals,
yeah.
Right?
Older yeah. individuals would get. And I was like, how is this possible? And apparently I have some gene, that gets triggered by when any type of sickness or infection. And I was sick the previous week before my wrist blew up. And, you know, they tested me for all of like what they need to test me for to come back positive for reactive arthritis. And it came back positive and I didn't know anything about it. And, you know, when you Google something, it's super scary. And so I was trying to talk about it with my doctor and she was essentially like, hey, it can last. It's sometimes the flare up is so quick we can't even diagnose it. I was like, well, obviously that's not me because it's been like 6 weeks. And she was like, right. So I don't know how long this is going to last. You know, sometimes cases last years.
Where you just wake up and it's just like painful like this?
It's painful. Your joint.
But this
so
could
it's
last
like the
years,
swelling.
So it could be a
it's
day,
a flare
a
up. It could be a day, a year, 2 years. You know,
scary.
I was making some. You know, I was on TikTok, like trying to find people who had been diagnosed with it and what they were doing. And like, I made like this video about how I have it and like, does anybody else have it? And what have you been doing? And, you know, people were responding like, oh, I've had it for 8 years. And I was just like, no, this can't, I can't do this. Like, you know, I support myself. I can't work. You know, I had to go on disability. But because it's a disorder and not a disease, you know, it doesn't really qualify for long-term disability, only short-term. And like, you know, all this stuff that I was trying to grapple with. And I just was like, okay, it's not going to be me. Like this year, 2 year, can't walk situation is not going to be me. So what am I going to do about it? And it just took a lot of effort and research and trial and error and listening to my body instead of just listening. You know, you listen to doctors, you listen to, you know, you read the research and, you know, you take what you need, but you really got to listen to your body, like what works and what doesn't work, what's hurting it, what's helping it. And, you know, at a couple of months down the line, I figured no gluten, no dairy. Like it was really every time I had processed pasta or burrata or some type of like cheese, it would flare up even more and be more painful. So I cut that out. You know, I added like turmeric to my diet every day and I was trying to slowly walk on things. You know, I was trying not to stress my body out. I was talking to God a lot, just doing all of this stuff while on medication. And I just, you know, it took a lot of time and effort, but I mean, it's been like 6 months and I'm at 85% mobility. Yeah.
That's great. And God bless too.
God
for being
bless.
Able, yeah, for real, for being able to figure that out because, and this is something that I could definitely relate to. You know, a lot of the listeners know, but I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease, when I was 16 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And all the doctors were pretty much, well, there was one that was kind of in my corner, I'll say.
Right.
But very much like you're going to live with this for the rest of your life, you know, like, just get used to it type thing. And now there's not really a trace of it. Still on medication, just because of the word flare up you used, right, is a common term with Crohn's too, because it can just flare at any moment. But also this is an issue because I just had this rash on my body too, right? And I go to urgent care because I'm like, well, it doesn't hurt. It's not like, you know, itchy really, but it looks bad. Mm-hmm. So I go to urgent care and I basically said to them, you know, I've been in a tanning bed. I've been to the gym every day. So I'm thinking I've been an athlete my whole life. Like maybe it's a form of like a ringworm or like some sort of staph, right? So they're like, no, it's not that. It's contact dermatitis. So I'm like, oh, okay. But literally looked at it and we're like, no, it's not that. It's contact dermatitis. So they give me like ointment and some prednisone, which is a steroid. And they send me on my way. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks later, I mean, this rash is still like just getting worse and worse and worse. But now it's up my arms. It's on my legs. It's in my groin area. Mm-hmm. And again, not painful, but I'm like, this is not good. Something's going on. Back to urgent care. See another doctor. The doctor looks at it real quick and goes, oh, no, that's from the gym. So I'm like, in my head, I kind of thought that, right? So then he gives me another medication and another cream, sends me on my way. But now I was feeling a little bit better because it was kind of what I thought it to be. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks later, this thing is coming up my body on both sides. But like, I'm very stubborn too. And like, I'll just keep going with my life and my routine, right? But here I am with this whole rash now on my body. And I go back now to the dermatologist because I'm like, all right, guys, I keep going to urgent care. Like, let me go to a dermatologist. Mm-hmm. And it turned out to be something that stemmed from I had strep throat like 2 months back. Mm-hmm. So internal infection basically sparked something else that caused this rash that happens to be like unharmful at all and will go away on its own within like 8 to 10 weeks. Mm-hmm. But here I am just continuing to get misdiagnosed. And that's on a small scale, but it's something that just happened to me. And it ended up really bothering me and pissing me off. Like, because I'm like, listen, the healthcare system is flawed right now.
Well, because it's sick care. It's not healthcare.
Explain that.
Because, and you know, this is something also like life for me at this point is about unlearning. You know, not even
behaviors
about,
and stuff.
Yeah, behaviors, things that were taught to us, conditioned to us, you know, like the school system and what we learn in school and, you know, what they're actually trying to teach us. And the healthcare system is you don't go there to stay healthy. They only help you when you get sick. Like, how many times have I been to the doctor where it's like, it's not that bad. When it gets worse, come back, you know, then we'll figure it out. It's like, how does that make sense? You know, we're people, we have lives, we do things, even if it's a rash that's not so harmful. And I've been to the doctor 4 or 5 times. Like, I have a family. I have responsibilities. I have things that I want to do. Like, this is super inconvenient because you guys aren't doing what you're supposed to be doing, that we as vulnerable people are not feeling well or don't know something and are coming to you like to help us figure it out, and you're getting paid for it, and you're not giving the same energy that we deserve in so many cases. And it's scary because when you're sick, you're not helpless, but you're not at full capacity. And as a community, we should be helping people to the best of our abilities. And especially if this is your job, like, you should be going the extra mile. And it's super scary, disappointing, a bunch of things I could think of. But it's healthcare is how to stay healthy when you are healthy. Sick care is you go when you're sick and maybe they'll help you figure it out.
Yeah. And what I've seen from my own personal experience, like, you know, I think that we need to be more mindful. Even me, like, I'm just popping into urgent care. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just doing that because I'm like, all right, well, I have good insurance. Like, I can get away with this. But we need to be more mindful of, like, you know, putting our trust into doctors and finding good ones. And I happen to have a good team of doctors that have really helped me along the way. So I don't want to sound like I'm bashing doctors, and they're very educated individuals. But it just seems like, you know, I'm all for a process and like process elimination, like the whole thing. Like, you get seen, okay, it's not this. But like, I do need a little bit more.
Right.
And that was just something that it's just stuck to me now. And now, like, you know, all the holistic approaches are even more enticing to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something as simple as like a cold shower or these cold plunges, the benefits are endless.
Yeah, they
and there's so many little things that we could be doing throughout the day. I mean, the turmeric thing, you know, I got to look more into that. But especially this time of year too, everyone's sick and cough. I had this nasty cough for how long, CB? I think I got it from the voice over there. Yeah, mm-hmm. I know. You're an advocate on mental health,
mm-hmm.
right? And the importance of self-work and community,
mm-hmm.
which is, I love those words. I'm a big word guy.
Big word guy.
If my nickname wasn't the body, it'd be the word.
Mm.
The big word. All right? But to be an advocate, you have to experience some things, mm-hmm. in my opinion, right? You mentioned anxiety, depression,
mm-hmm.
but are there some life moments for you that like you were, I guess you became knowledgeable on, oh, wow, this is a mental health issue versus just like knowing what you were feeling? Because I know for me as a man, I'm very familiar now,
mm-hmm.
but this is after 6 years of therapy. After going my whole life, just thinking I was like, you know, oh, I'm Italian, so like I'll turn up on you type thing.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm just stubborn or mm-hmm. this or that. And then like ruined a lot of relationships in my life along the way because of my behavior and my actions that I took.
Mm-hmm.
Still ones that like I try to mend in my head, but they're just done.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm always curious to hear about like other people's experience in the mental health space.
Yeah, I have mental health like anxiety and depression in my family. You know, I do believe part of it's generational, but also I didn't know that I had it, even though looking back, I probably had it through high school and through college, you know, the tightness of the chest, like the shaky hands, you know, I thought I just had really bad stage fright, but I actually think I was having panic attacks before I went on stage, you know, like throwing up and like spinning out of control. And then I was just like, oh girl, you are just so nervous about this performance. And I think that it was a whole other level. But when I graduated college and I moved into my first apartment, I was there, but I had moved all my stuff in and I was sitting in my apartment by myself and I was like really happy about it. And I just started getting like chest pains and dizzy. And I was like, what is going on? And I was having a panic attack. And I found out later, you know, I went to go see a doctor and was talking about it with them. And she was like, you know, sometimes when you move environments, your body can react that way, you know, and that can happen to you. Mind you, flash forward when I talked about this with my grandma years later, every time she moved from a house to a new house, she would panic.
Really?
Yeah. And wow. She hasn't moved in, I don't know, God knows how long for that very reason. So I don't know if it's like hereditary or, you know, that's, you know, something that just happens to a few of us. But yeah, so from that point on, I knew. But like, I didn't go to therapy, like no medication or anything. Like I was really, really big on zero medication. Now I'm like, take what you need. There's a balance, you know, modern medicine and holistic medicine. Figure out what's right, the right recipe for you, and then go with that. And it wasn't until COVID hit that I was like, I need a therapist. And after my first therapist, you know, therapists are people and their relationship. And people can get deterred when your first therapist is like not a good fit. I had a really not good experience with my first therapist. And especially when it was during COVID, it was especially like, F this, I don't want to do this. Like, this is not for me. Thank God I reconsidered a year or so later. I have an amazing therapist. I'm obsessed with her. She's been so helpful. She's helped me do all this work. Like my vocabulary in terms of self-work has developed so much. Like I wasn't even thinking about self-awareness. Like, you know, I didn't even know to say something like that. And I just this whole process of diving deep more into myself. And as I was doing that, I was building this community of people who were also feeling the same way. And I, as a lyricist and as a poet, as a songwriter, like I'm pretty open because I'm writing about my life. So I didn't really think that I was being so open. I just, you know, just being myself. I'm just talking about my stuff and just kind of developed this community. And, you know, talking to my friends and, you know, we're very open with each other. It's just been so special. And, you know, reflecting is community has always been so important to me. I mean, it's the whole reason I got like into hip hop culture and, you know, became an R&B singer. Like I was always a singer and I was singing these songs, but they didn't feel right to me. And then this is actually a crazy story. I was in middle school and one of my friends that I had become so close with, his dad is Rakim, as in Eric B and Rakim. And we were just such good friends and I loved his music taste and he put me on to like J Dilla and Ninth Wonder and like, you know, hip hop culture in general and his father and like, you know, Tribe Called Quest and all of these things. And I was just so obsessed and I dove into hip hop culture. I studied it in college. And the basis of hip hop, Professor Griff actually came in and taught a seminar in my hip hop culture class. And he said hip hop stands for higher infinite power healing our people. And I was like, I totally agree. And, you know, I learned, you know, about the elements of hip hop and how hip hop started as like for community. You know, they would have these huge warehouse parties and all these gang members would drop their colors at the door and then just go in and just be themselves and listen to music and, you know, do the whole dance and chill and like just have a good time and be with each other and then, you know, pick their colors up and walk out the door and get back to life. But that's where it started at. And I feel like, you know, for my whole entire life, community has always been so important to me. And now in the mental health space and like the vulnerability space, I think, and what's going on in the world, I think it's even more important. And with my disability this year, it's the first time I ever let people take care of me, like outside of my the intimate relationships, like mm-hmm. my committed relationships with my partners, and, you know, my parents growing up and my brother. It was the first time I really let the people that I love take care of me. And it did amazing things for me. And it's the importance of community. People don't even know because I feel like sometimes it's so foreign. Mm. But it is so powerful. I know that was a tangent.
It's a fire tangent, to be honest with you. And I love hearing, because I'm a hip hop fan too, big time. And you're talking real hip hop, you know, and that meaning is so deep to you. And now I'm intrigued because you're so invested in it. Now I want to like, you know,
right.
And now I'm like, oh my God, let's go listen to hip hop yeah. right now. I'll leave my colors at the door.
Mm-hmm.
And then you said, what do you think of hip hop today then? Right. Because it is so different. I mean, I think like,
somebody
like a J. Cole, like
yeah.
he can blend
100%.
You know what I mean? But like some of these guys, I know I sound old and I'm going to age myself. I don't even really know what they're saying.
Right.
You know, and then they claim it's hip hop and like, I get it. Sometimes there's a good beat to it, but like some of it, I really can't relate to it all.
100%.
And do you feel that way? Because you're a young person, but you're also like living in an old school hip hop, you know, mm-hmm. culture, which is great.
Yeah.
So talk to me a little bit about today's hip hop.
I think in order to say that you're, you know, doing hip hop music, you have to do your research. And, you know, I am like a neighbor, like, you know, hip hop culture obviously wasn't created for me, for someone who looks like me. But I'm invited to the cookout. Like I come, you know why? Because I did my research. I paid my respects. Like I learned about the core of it, the foundation of it.
What do you bring to the cookout? Yo, listen, if you're gonna talk about it, let's talk about it.
Like food wise?
I don't know. I mean,
soul food, eye candy.
Soul food, eye candy.
I bring the vibes. I bring the love. I bring the humor. But it has been like that. Once I learned that I was so in love with it, like I wanted to know everything about it. And just like any other relationship, like you can't say you love somebody if you don't know them. Like if you didn't get the time to take to know them and about their roots and about where they came from, about what makes them special. You know, like, that's so important. And I did that just because I was so obsessed with it and I loved it. And I think that, you know, a lot of people say they call themselves hip hop, but, you know, how many times I've been at a show or in a studio or in something and I've brought up Rakim and some people will look at me and be like, who's that?
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
That is crazy.
Because this is a man that invented flow.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's, it's just so wild to me that you don't, you haven't studied this, but you preach that you are this. I think that there is a disconnect there. I also think that this world has a really common, they compartmentalize and just like blanket what music is depending on what people look like. And we just kind of, sometimes we go with it because we don't know any better. We're not thinking about it. We're not conscious of it. But, you know, hip hop is particular, but you don't have to, it's not hip hop. And, but we just call it that. So I think that I do relate to hip hop. I do relate to a lot of hip hop that's in mainstream now, but like, you know, I'm selective and I'm intentional with what I define as hip hop, which is higher infinite power, healing our people.
That's fire.
Yeah.
That really is fire.
It's when it's he so said good. That, you know, like some of those moments in life where he was like,
he was stuck, right? Yeah.
And he was so nonchalant about it. And for me, that's it. It has to do something for me. It has to say something to me. It has to connect with me. Like, yeah, I listen to Cole and I'm just like, yeah, this hits for me. Like, it brings tears to my eyes. And even if it's not a song about something like super important or whatever, and it's just a beat and it's something that, you know, you can listen to in the car and not really have to think about, like, you know, you have to do a little more digging to find your music in the world of music today.
You into country at all? So I mean, it's ironic that I sound just like Luke Combs. So there's this real popular song called Fast Car. Mm-hmm. Original Tracy Chapman. I'm sure you know.
Yeah, right? I know.
I'm being a little facetious.
Right.
Here, uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. So I happen to sound just like him. But are you actually into country?
Has there been a vote?
Like, no. You know what I do? I just speak with confidence and everyone goes with it.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Just speak with confidence. Everyone goes with it.
Yeah.
Thumbs up.
I'm not. So some country. I like Chris Stapleton.
I don't know anyone else.
You don't know Chris Stapleton?
I'm just playing.
I have to really like the lyrics. I like more like the soul bluesy country stuff.
I like the stories is what I'm finding.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like country in itself, it's easier to understand. Like, you know, you can hear the words, whereas some hip hop today, I swear, I'm like, yo, slow that down. Let me read the lyrics.
Right.
But like country is very easy. So there's a time and a place and I live on a lake. So it happens to just, you know, it just is a vibe for me.
Yeah. It fits for you.
Yeah, it's super random. But anyway, so let's switch to R&B. Okay. R&B for you is huge, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when I think of R&B, I think a lot about love, relationships, and that stuff, right? So what do you seek in your, you mentioned intimate relationships.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to label it as personal and professional relationships. Like, what do you look for in these relationships? And do you talk about that in your music?
Yeah. The new music that I've been working on is, the core of it is like intention, affirmation, speaking about stuff and purpose. Like, what do I want to listen to, and like the topics that I want to listen to and write what I want to hear that I think is like missing. In my intimate relationships, I do the same thing. Like, I look for depth, substance, intelligence, intention, God. Like, I feel God in all of my relationships, intimate or not. And if I don't feel it, then we're acquaintances. I'm not going to move through this life. Like, at this age, I am building based off of substance, and I'm basing things off of what they feel like, not what they look like. And if it doesn't feel like love, it doesn't feel like I'm valued, it doesn't feel like this is an intentional space, I'm not in it. So I think that reflects in my life a lot. And people will always be like, you know, Sky, when when all your friends come around, because I have different groups of friends from different walks of life at different points in my life. But when we all get in a room together, it's love, it's vibes, like even if you don't know each other. And it's just because the roots are the same, the core are the same. We all come from different spaces, places, walks of life. But like the love is there and God is in the room. And once you feel that, you don't want to feel anything else. And if you don't, if you feel something else, you know it's off. Like, if that isn't the feeling, like, I know what that feels like. I know what it feels like in personal relationships, in professional relationships, like, intimate or not. And that's all I'm signing up for.
I love the, for lack of better words, but the intention behind, you know, your relationships. And I'm seeing this now. I'm a people person. I love people. But I'm very conscious of who I do business with, who, you know, privately I'm in relationships with. Like, it's a big investment, you know? And then also, like, I don't always know other people's intentions. And I've been caught a couple times where you put almost too much trust in somebody and then you get burned. And that's happened to me both personally and professionally. So it's something I'm super conscious of now at 34, a little older than you. But shout out Just for Men.
Shout
you
know what I'm saying?
Shout out Just for Men covering the grays. Early 2024, as this comes out, break down your goal process for me. And I guess what's something that you're set out to achieve in 2024?
Yeah. 2024 is, for me, is all about making intentional music. The stuff that I'm writing now is stuff that, you know, I thought that my poetry and my music had to be separate, but they don't. And I've combined.
Why would you
think
that? I'm curious.
Because when you talk about deep stuff all the time, like, sometimes it's so heavy for people. And I don't, I am never going to be like, all people think like me, you know, or I want all people to think like me, you know, I'm just thinking like me. And I just think sometimes it's too heavy and people just don't want to even dive that deep and they don't have the capacity or, like, you know, whatever it is. And it's just like stuff that's more easy to digest, so, like music that's easier, that's more digestible. Is stuff that I thought that I had to make, like, dumb down my lyrics a little bit. And even though people will listen to my stuff and be like, how is this dumbing it down? I'm like, just watch. Because the stuff I talk about, I'm not sure people even have the vocabulary. But then I realized, like, how are they going to have it if nobody is talking about it? And
can you give us an example of that?
Yeah.
Like, even maybe a, I don't know, a bar that sticks out to you. In one of your songs.
Yeah. I don't know about, like, specific bars off the top of my head, but I do know that this was like maybe 2017. I was in one of my favorite coffee shops, Humble Coffee House. If you've never been there, you should go. Great place in the community. And I was sitting there and this pastor comes up to me and he's like, I know that this is so strange. But God wanted me to tell you that music is your purpose and that you don't have to switch lanes. Like,
there's an anointing, like, on you.
something. I was like, what's going on? But he was essentially, cause I had been contemplating, like, you know, I love God and, am I supposed to be doing Christian music? It never felt right to me. Cause I'm not like the cookie cutter Christian, and, you know, I'm a little too spicy for that world, you know, who I am in my personal life. So I was like, it never really aligned, but I was thinking about it and I didn't tell anybody about it. And he was just like, no, R&B is your thing because people need to listen to what you have to say. Like, Christian people who are listening to Christian music, they are thinking about those certain things, but you have a message and you're going to put it in your R&B so other people can hear it and understand it. And, like, in the way that you say it. And I always say, like, I'm just a vessel. So when people are like, how do you write songs? I'm like, it just comes through me and I write it out. And do I think that God writes the lyrics that I write, even though they're spicy? Yeah, because I think that what the intention is from it is a teachable moment in a space where it's not being taught as often. So these next records are, feel the most like me I've ever felt. And I'm just trying to lean into that as much as possible and lean into community, and into my musical community and, like, build together.
Yeah. The Christian stuff sticks out to me, you know, so mom grew up Jewish, dad grew up Catholic in a church. I just recently, well, so for the past 12 years, I've had a Christian barber who's become one of the most like impactful men in my life. So, you know, every week for an hour, my haircut does take an hour, even though it looks like it doesn't move. You know, he gives me like a personal sermon, you know, but like very naturally, though.
Yeah.
So I have become infatuated with the Christian faith. And also over the past year and a half, I've gone through some things relationship wise where like my life is far from perfect. Right. People see what they see, but they don't really know what goes on behind the scenes. Right. We always put out what you want people to see, but there's still a piece of life that goes beyond social media. Right. And I had the conversation with my dad because he was like, you know, I love that you're establishing this relationship with a higher power, whether it's Catholicism or Christianity, but like, why is it Christianity? And in very simple terms, I broke it down and I'm like, well, for my life, right? If I was, so I was married and now I'm separated. In my separation, I can go to a Catholic priest and ask for advice on a marriage issue to somebody who's never been married before. Doesn't really resonate with me. Or if I'm having an issue as a father, right? I have a 3-year-old. Am I going to be more comfortable talking to somebody in a Christian church who has children or somebody who doesn't have children? So for me, when I explained that, my dad was like, oh, like, I can see that. And I love that for you. Right. So now, I mean, and my daughter and I, we listen to Christian music, but then, you know, we will put on our hip hop. We'll put on our Luke Combs. We're very versatile when it comes to that space. But the Christian world is something that I've really been diving into and learning specifically the differences between Catholicism and Christianity. A lot of similarities, but there are major differences.
Yeah. I'm not, to be completely transparent, a big religion person. I'm a big God girl. And not God fearing, God loving. And I'll tell you why. God at it at the root is love. Like, and it is so in depth, but you don't fear love. And if you do, you're running away from it. So I think that that's something that I had to unlearn. And the perception that I am God loving and not God fearing has really helped me. Also, I just read this book called The Shack. It's fictional, but something that really stuck out for me was, you know, I always say I put God first. Like I even have it on my one sheet. I put God first. I put God first for everything. And I'm reading in this book and it's like God speaking and it's like, I don't want to be put first. That's like something that you put at the top of the pyramid that you look at and think that you're going to fail at. I'm God. I'm inside of you. I'm in everything. I don't want to be at the top. I want to be at the core throughout everything. I don't want to be God, family, friends. I want to be God in your family, God in your friends. Like I am in you. You are in everything. It's at the center. It's at the core. I don't want to be at the top. And now I'm thinking to myself, holy shit.
That's another one.
Yeah. That's deep. Right. So I only finished the book a couple of days ago, but you know, I go to the gym and one of the owners of the gym, Dez, we always say to each other, we look at each other, we're like, yo, put God first. Like when we say hi, when we leave. And then I was telling him yesterday about the book and he was like, oh, okay. He was like, I'm gonna have to look into that. But yeah, God is at the center. And so, you know, I don't go to church, but I do have my sermons that I listen to while I'm in the bath. And I feel that's the most I've ever been connected to. Like Sarah Jakes. I listen to a lot of her.
I listen to a lot of TD. So.
Yeah, yeah. And
Joel. Joel's my goat.
You know,
his voice gets a little funny sometimes, and his jokes are super corny. Sorry, Joel. But I mean, the message just hits.
Yeah, I think, you know? It's like, for me, it's not even about the pastor. It's about the message and, like, what hits. And, like, you know, sometimes church for me is just, like, listening to my favorite R&B records in the bath, like, just having a conversation with God. That, you know, I went to Catholic school. I'm half Sicilian, half Irish. I grew up in the Catholic Church. I never felt the presence of God like I have when it's just like me in my bath, like having a conversation with him. So I feel like, you know, religion is man-made, but God is God.
I need to try the bath thing, but I'll need to get a bigger bath.
Do you fit inside the bath?
No. Yeah. And you know, love
my house.
You
need a rubber ducky.
I love, well, I have a couple of those.
Oh.
I love my house, but in my master, I don't have a bath. It's a stand-up, like, big 6-foot shower.
So your first mistake.
Is what?
Your first mistake.
First mistake. Well, I didn't build it. It was built. But then my guest bathroom has a bath, but it's a standard bath, and I'm not standard.
Right.
Far from sky verbs.
Right.
All right?
I fit in my bath.
This episode is brought to you by Hudson Valley Teeth Whitening. Hudson Valley Teeth Whitening is an experienced teeth whitening salon where you can get up to 7 shades lighter with just a 60 or 90 minute session in a professional and relaxing setting. They offer the most superior product coupled with the highest quality of customer service available to get you instant results. Whether you have an important event to attend, such as a wedding, birthday, anniversary, interview, or you are just unhappy with the color of your teeth, this LED light technology helps whiten your teeth fast and easy. At Hudson Valley Teeth Whitening, they understand how important your smile is to you. And speaking from personal experience, you'll be guided by highly efficient staff in a relaxing environment to reach your desired shade. Let them know you're a friend of Dave's from the No Snooze podcast and connect with them at HudsonValleyTeethWhitening.com or on Instagram at HV Teeth Whitening. Now, back to the epi. You used the term, and I guess this was this a album title for you, In My Bag and My Feelings?
In My Bag and My Feelings, yeah.
Okay. So it challenges listeners to understand the beauty of duality between being vulnerable and true to ourselves while also being about our business.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm old, but I'm not that old. I know the bag is the business.
Right. The bag is the business.
Right? So the combination of the two for you, you believe to be the recipe for longevity and success.
Yeah.
How'd you come to this conclusion?
Well, because intentional just feels better. And like, you know, purpose comes first. But just because I talk about softness and vulnerability and feelings, and I'm really open about anxiety and depression, and, you know, a lot of people know a lot of things about me, like, don't get it twisted. I'm still about my shit, you know? And there can be duality in that. It doesn't have to be one or the other. My personal is my personal, and I'm always going to be respectful and intentional in my business, but like, you have to wear different hats, you know, and, you know, giving grace in your professional career and giving grace in your personal feel and looks different, and it's super nuanced. So I just think that you don't have to be one or the other. You have to be a blend of both, and you have to work on it daily.
I can't stop thinking about the God conversation.
Mm.
And I'm curious how you developed the relationship with the higher power. Was there like a moment for you in your life?
No, it's just small intentional moments throughout my life.
Like, is there something you can like highlight that like brought you there? Or was it just like the voice that, so for me, it's always been this little voice. I remember on episode 1 of this freaking podcast, 169 episodes ago, I actually made a comment and said, like, you know, one of the things I want to do better in my life is start following this little voice in my head. And like, even just 4 years ago, I knew that it was, you know, I knew where the voice was coming, but I wasn't as connected. And then obviously having my daughter, my mom's journey of addiction, and now she's been sober over 5 years. That played a huge role in the development and the guidance, I guess, that I now have. The family dynamic for me growing up, like coming from a divorced household that at times was, you know, very induced with stress and anxiety. But back then, I can't say that I recall. The only godly thing was really my dad. And he would go to church by himself. And we didn't, you know, so it wasn't until like these latter years of my life that now I'm like so locked in the first 29 minutes of my day. I mean, you know, literally I hydrate, I drink, you know, a Yeti full of water. And I put on Joel, and it's like 29 minutes every single day. But it's become, you know, the best habit of my life and something that I'm so proud of. And like, I feel, for me, the relationship with a higher power starts my day. You could do it at any point during the day, you know? I would like to get better and more intentional throughout my day. But for me, my day is so, so busy. Sometimes I can get lost and I can forget about the big guy. but the first, you know, 30 minutes of my day are very important in that space. So very selfishly, I'm asking you, for me, is there like times that you can recall? Because for me, there's 87 of them.
Right. I don't think that there's like this one big profound time where I was just like, oh, God has me. I just feel like, you know, I was born into a family that believed. And through my life, I've been developing a personal relationship with God and what that means and how it feels and what it looks like. And not until recently do I feel like it's more like a personal relationship, that I feel like God is in me and through me and in all my spaces. But I've been like really intentional about making that a thing. My therapist told me in one of our sessions, it's not in the doing, it's in the being. And I think that that's so important, because how do you hear that little head when you're constantly doing? You know, the artists,
how do you hear that
little voice in your head? When you're constantly doing,
right?
When you're constantly in movement. Artists, we always write like our best records, you know, in nothingness, you know, when we're calm and we're chill and like, you know, an idea sparks. Like for me, when you're calm and you're chill, like God is in your head, like, what about this? Or like, try this. You know, and you can't hear that if you're constantly in motion. So, you know, when I was behind the bar for 70 hours a week and I was going through all these motions, it's like, yeah, I love God, but I'm not in it. Like, you know, and so COVID forced me to be chill, and disability forced me to be chill and really like think. And it's in like the being and not in the doing. Obviously we have to be productive and we go after what we want and all that stuff, but like the core is to chill and to listen. And this, you know, this relationship and this growing relationship with God is like never ending, you know? So, you know, take what you need at the points that you need it. But I firmly believe that there is a plan for me, and God has been there. I've never been alone, even when I feel it. And that's just blind faith.
Mm-hmm. Blind faith. I like that. When are you at your best? Where do you feel like, I guess for lack of better words, your peak in life? You know, like, what are you doing? Who are you around? Paint the picture for me.
Oh, no one's ever asked me that question before.
Oh. Like this, look. Bing.
When I'm at my best, I'm definitely surrounded with love, surrounded with my community. I'm safe.
Healthy. Gotta be
healthy. Gotta be healthy.
Gotta be healthy.
Safe, healthy. Probably listening to hip hop or like some jazz vinyls. You know, it might be with my people in my house that I built for myself, that no one can take away, that feels safe, that feels protected, hanging up ornaments on the Christmas tree, listening to some jazz vinyls, and feeling God in the room.
So now I challenge you to do more of that, because nothing you said is something, and this is a thing for all of us, right? When we're at our best, it's not that deep. Like what you said is deep stuff, but like there's no reason not to be there.
Right.
So I challenge you in 2024 to surround yourself with those people, do the things that you just mentioned, because I want to be doing the same thing. You know, I'm at my best when I'm having the playful moments with my daughter, when I'm locked into my routine, and you know, like business isn't really even on there.
No, I gotta be,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like, it's really not even on there. And the majority of our lives is centered around business, whether you agree with it or not. You know, you go to work, you're there for at least 8 hours. But if there's a commute, it's 9, it's 10, sometimes it's 15 hours.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I just want to, I see too much. And I see too many people that, like, you know, they're retiring from jobs and having heart attacks.
Right.
You know, and life is way too short.
Right.
And it sounds so cliche, but we just got to keep doing the things that make us happy. Bing, you said something before, and I couldn't stop thinking about it. You said that you knew what you wanted to do when you were 4 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Very transparent. My daughter Callie Michelle loves to sing.
Mm-hmm.
She's 3 and a half. Mm-hmm. She's terrible. So did anyone tell you
don't
that you
do
were
that. Don't do that.
And by terrible, I mean the sound that's coming out.
Don't
you know, she hasn't
me.
Found it yet, and God bless, I love her.
Mm-hmm.
But like, you know, were you like, and I'm kidding about that.
I wasn't always as good,
but
if that's what you're asking.
Were you good?
Well, at first I started piano.
Ooh.
So first I started on the piano, classically trained. Because my parents were like, oh, she's good at the piano, let's get her a classical teacher. It was like on them. You know, I was so little. And then I started writing songs to stuff that I was playing. And my mom was like, oh, she can sing. Like, you know, carry a tune, whatever. I was like, I love it. I want to do it all the time. She was like, all right, we'll get you some lessons. You know, when I was younger, so fortunate. Not everybody is this fortunate. It's not lost on me. And like, it really took off from there. And I loved singing more than I loved playing the piano. You know, I loved both at the same time. But like, you know, anytime I was like going through something in middle school or like, you know, being bullied or like somebody broke my heart or like whatever it was, I would just play on the piano and bang on the piano and I'd be like crying on the piano and all this stuff. And my mom was like, this girl's so emotional. She's so emotional. And then my parents were both like, there's something here. And the lyrics that I was writing, like, were so deep for such a little girl. It's like I had not been through what I was coming through. And I just think that they realized that, like, yeah, like something is inside of her. Yeah. So I think the songwriting was the biggest thing. And then, you know, my voice just kind of developed over time. So and there are a bunch of singers who say that they were crap when they first started. So
Kelly still got a shot.
Of course she does.
All right, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she's really into this.
Yeah.
You know, and she makes
confidence
up, she
is 99% of it.
Lyrics too.
Yeah.
They make no sense yet.
Right.
But I mean,
wait, they will. Maybe they
real,
do to her.
They do.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Who's had the most impact in your life and why?
So this is so loaded because I feel like through different stages of my life, I've had a lot of really, really impactful people, but people that are still in my life that continue to impact me. The first person that stands out to me is my brother. He's my best friend. He's my rock. We are polar opposites.
What's his name?
Eric.
Eric. Give him a shout out. Eric, come on.
Shout
man.
Out you to see? Eric.
There you go.
I love you. He is like super clean cut, no tattoos, no piercings, you know.
Last name Verbs? Eric Verbs?
Yeah, Eric Verbs. like an engineer. Just like type A personality, super OCD. Like I am polar opposite. But he loves and accepts me fully. Like I feel like I push his boundaries of like thought and yeah, and I do all the things, but like fully embraces me. Never judges me, has always been there for me, supported me. In life growing up, multiple times in my life, I thought I lost home. And I was feeling very unsafe and unstable and like just like wanting to run home. And at some point I realized like home is love and like unconditional love. And I know that my brother has been the safest, most protective, like loving unconditionally place I've ever been. Mm. So wherever he is home for me. And that safety has carried me through a lot of really hard times. So I would say that he's probably the most impactful relationship I have.
I love that. And I have a younger sister, as mm-hmm. you know. And I would hope that she says some of those things. But if I was questioning myself, like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So that's...
Maybe you should ask her.
I'm nervous.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, I would bet that it'd be more good than bad.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a... How many years of a age gap?
Four
years. So I think Danielle and I are seven.
You
was,
don't know.
I know. I was telling you off air.
She's 16.
I think she's 28 now, and I just got her a happy birthday card that said happy sweet 16.
Right.
Because to me, she'll always be my baby. You know.
Right. But to her, she's like, pull it together.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. What do you want for your future? What does your future look like, Sky? Sky's the limit.
Yeah. Past that though. I have big dreams, big goals for myself, for my community, for my people. You know, at the root, I want stability, safety, home, peace, purpose. I want all the people in my life to feel safe and supported and taken care of. I would love to do all that I could to take care of all my people, create generational wealth, know that you can have all the things and you deserve all the things. You know, you deserve the happiness, the prosperity, the peace, the joy, all at the same time. You know, I hear a lot of people say you can have everything you want in life, just not at the same time. I don't believe that. I think that if you say that, it's true. But I want all the things at the same time. And if I put God at the core and I'm super intentional and I am very patient and like continue to do the work, I think that I can and I know that I will have all the things and, you know, we'll do really beautiful things in this world and maybe be a light in dark spaces.
Yeah, it's going to be the title of this episode, God at the Core.
God at the Core.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it because it's more of the core of it all versus first, like you were saying before.
Yeah.
To somebody who had a rough 2023, right? Male or female.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing the things that you've been through with mental health, continuing to battle anxiety, depressive bouts, just like all of us.
Mm-hmm.
What's your message to that individual for them to start off on a new foot in 2024?
Yeah, maybe I could say I had a really tough 2023. And what I've been telling myself is you're not in lack. You're in abundance blooming. So, you know, planting the seeds. For some reason, the most profoundly impactful people in this world have been through the toughest shit. So if tough shit is any correlation to how beautiful your life can be, then buckle up and let's do this. One foot in front of the other. You don't have to handle everything at the same time. And like, let's put God at the center and let's, you know, find community and do it together. God doesn't want you to do it alone. I don't want you to do it alone. And you don't have to. Yeah.
She said a word, CV. I know I say it a lot on the podcast, but I pray for everything in abundance.
Mm-hmm.
Everything in abundance.
Oh, yeah.
And I think you should ask big because only he can provide big.
100%.
You know what I'm saying?
Abundance blooming.
I like that. Abundance blooming, though. Mm-hmm. Good. Where can everybody find you if they have not
on all
connected?
Platforms, Skyverbs. So Instagram, TikTok, all that jazz.
Apple Music, because I was listening
music,
today.
Apple Music, Spotify, Tidal, SoundCloud, Skyverbs, SkyVerbs.
Awesome. Anything you want to share that we did not touch on today specifically? And I asked that because I did an interview one time where somebody was interviewing me, and then they didn't ask me that question, and then I left the interview, and I was like, damn, I really wanted to share that thought.
I feel like I shared a lot of thoughts.
Did you?
Yeah. Yeah.
I was listening, so, you know.
Thank you so much. Yeah. I think that I said all I needed to say. Whatever that I should have said in this moment, I think we did a good job.
Yeah, no, and honestly, I'm very conscious of asking that question because it's a big regret of mine that I didn't, on that interview, say like, oh, I want to share one more thing. And then it's a moment that like you can never get back.
You never get back, I know.
But no, Sky, I want to say thank you for coming on here. I'm happy we connected. I know you have a performance tonight.
I do.
I don't like saying good luck because I already know you're going to kill it.
Thanks.
And I'm looking forward to the future. And I wish all the best for you. And I'm sure now moving forward, we'll stay connected.
Absolutely.
So guys, whether you've listened to one episode or 169 with Sky Verbs, we want to say thank you. Please share the show. You can leave us a 5-star review, subscribe on YouTube. Every little thing helps. And it's because of you that this show keeps growing. As always, you can shop the latest merch at nosnoozeshop.com. And as always, until next time, stop snoozing.
Get up and get after it.
Now, Sky, follow my directions. All right? Don't give me the thumbs up. Thank you guys for tuning in. That's another epi in the books. You can follow us on Instagram at No Snooze Podcast and leave us a 5-star review wherever you listen to us. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, No Snooze. Shop the latest merch at nosnoozeshop.com. Come on.